Zij er iemand thuis bezorgd.
Lieve luisteraar, het is in zoverre mooi geweest dat zelfs de batterijen nu leeg zijn.
Huh?
Nou, dat had ik dus vorige week, hè?
Ja?
Hier, toen zei ik nog de batterij leeg.
Ja?
En dat was dus 10 seconden. 10 seconden nadat de batterij leeg was, constateerde ik dat.
Oké. Okay.
En nu loop ik naar het ding toe. Ik zeg, nou, ik ga ermee stoppen.
Ja, en paf.
En ik pak mijn koptelefoon en ik kijk naar het ding en hij zegt, hey, mijn batterij is leeg, doei. Dus nu zitten we op de tank. En nou is het klaar. Ja. Dus,
helemaal goed.
Nog final words voor...
Nee, want ik was alleen maar even aan de bins komen.
Ja, vertel eens even van... Ja, want je was in
roze tanker. Was het ook in een roze tanker. Ja. Dat was de noise avondje, de computer noise.
Ja.
Oh,
ja.
We hadden onze grote vriend Jeroen natuurlijk met zijn laptop. Ken Jeroen, jij slaat
door.
Dat zou heerlijk zo... Heel simpel, alsof hij op zijn kantoor zat te werken met een biertje. Een beetje noise te programmeren.
Erg leuk. Ja.
En daarna hadden we Sjoerd en nog iemand.
Ja.
En die hadden ook best wel een leuke druinende noise shit met visuals.
Okay.
En daarna was Juxta met visuals en noise. Ja. Oh, ja. Dus eigenlijk maar drie dingetjes, maar was super leuk.
Ja.
Ze moesten de treinen halen allemaal. Dus het was eigenlijk weer netjes afgelopen.
En morgen weer dus?
Morgen weer, ja.
Morgen nog neighbor disturbance, of was het ook alweer?
Hash pollution is er morgen. Motorhotel, Benjamin.
Ja.
Die was vorige week.
Ja, ja.
Met die andere jongen, daar was je niet bij, in de na zit.
Oh.
Die gaan samen wat doen met visuals.
Oké. Okay.
Maar morgen wordt het lekker een goede harde tering, hè, die.
Misschien. Ik moet nog zien of ik
het jij gaat
er
gaan
is,
gaan.
Ja, het is morgen ook een demonstratie en zo van de Palestijnen en zo. Want het is de internationale dag voor solidariteit met de Palestijnse volk. Zoiets. Er zijn heel veel dingen tegelijk.
Het begint wel redelijk vroeg, 7:15, 8:00 of zo.
Mooi.
Ja, maar kijken, misschien kan je zo doorfietsen vanaf het centrum.
Ja, zo is het.
Het is maar 20 minuten vanaf de stad.
Zo is het. Ja. Oké, nou, dankjewel.
Ja,
dat was het dan voor nu tot hier en niks verder. Het beste advies live vanuit Vondelburger is blijf lekker luisteren naar Radio Pottenboel. Ik kom vast wel weer meer een keer.
de... De plannen tot verkoop van sociale huurwoningen, de afbraak van sociale huisvesting, wordt verantwoord met een ideologie van leefbaarheid, veiligheid, differentiëring. Er wordt gezegd van, nou, als we nou maar wat mensen met hogere inkomens binnen laten stromen in die oude wijken, dan gaat de leefbaarheid vanzelf omhoog. Nou, dit is natuurlijk iets wat bijzonder problematisch is. Omdat je om te beginnen geen ruimte hebt voor die mensen die er al woonden. En eigenlijk zeg je tegen die mensen in die buurten. Ja, wat jullie nu samen doen, dat is ons niet leefbaar genoeg. Dan moeten mensen bij met veel geld en dan wordt het leefbaarder. Gelul. Is gewoon een brutale belediging van de mensen zelf. En het is gewoon eigenlijk schandalig. En ja... Dat is misschien wel... Kijk, leefbaarheid is natuurlijk niet afhankelijk van wel of geen geld. Het is niet zo dat als je veel geld hebt of veel geld kunt krijgen, dat je dan aardige mens bent. Leefbaarheid is bijvoorbeeld iets wat hier in deze buurt plaats had, toen dat gezin McCloofy op straat werd gezet. Toen ontstond hier een solidariteit van buurtbewoners, van heb ik jou daar. Wij hebben toen gemeenschappelijk hebben wij gezegd, wij pikken niet dat hier mensen op straat gezet worden. Wij zijn toen samen naar de politiek gegaan in IJmeren, wat ik je vertelde, om de sleutel terug te halen. Nou, toen had je moeten zien wat leefbaarheid en veiligheid is. Toen dat voor elkaar was. Iedereen was blij en gelukkig. En iedereen kende elkaar ook in de buurt. Het was echt een feest. Waarom? Omdat we samen voor een doel gingen, huisvesting voor iedereen. En dat voelt goed.
Met wie heb ik precies gesproken?
Hugo Gieterlink van Stop Afbraak Sociale Huisvesting.
Perfect.
This is a revolution sure shot.
Get asked me, say, are you somebody? I said, damn right I'm somebody. What do you say when I say, are you somebody?
Damn right I'm somebody.
Lynn Collins, yeah. Miss Collins, are you somebody?
Yes, I am somebody.
Well, she is. She's a lady. Thank you.
Right on.
Mr.
Yeah.
Ray, are you somebody?
Damn right.
Are you somebody, Brother Pinkney?
You damn right.
You sure got a lot of grip to say that.
Yeah.
Are you somebody, Brother Parker?
Damn right I'm somebody.
Yeah.
What about you, Assalamu alaikum?
Wa alaikum salam.
Well, salaam alaikum.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we speak of love and happiness.
Yeah.
To me, happiness is Fred Wesley, playing his horn.
Hey, go! That man.
The Dark is Rising, a drama by Susan Cooper for BBC World Service. Episode 7, The Besieging.
When the dark comes rising,
six shall turn it back. Three from the circle, three from the track.
Wood, bronze, iron, water, fire, stone.
Five will return, and one go alone.
Hawkins' betrayal has cracked open our protection, and the Dark could slip in at any moment. Will looked up and saw, framed in the sitting room doorway, the outline of the visitor's face.
The rider.
Saw the red-brown hair, the blue eyes, and he froze.
Will, come here a minute. Say hello to our guest, Mr. Matothin.
This Mr. Matothin, his father's friend from goodness knows where, was the rider from somewhere outside time. Quickly, Will hid the Jamaican carnival mask from Stephen under a cloth. As he turned back again...
This is Will, my youngest son.
The rider stared at Will in open, triumphant challenge, a small smile on his lips.
You!
Will stretched out his right hand with its fingers spread stiff towards his family and...
Time! Stop!
He froze them out of all movement and they stood as waxworks round the room.
How dare you come here?
The two of them stood facing one another, the only living objects there.
How dare you enter our house at Christmas?
No one else moved, nor did the hands of the clock.
Get out.
Contain yourself. I can cross your threshold, my young friend, because I have been invited. Your father, in good faith, asked me to enter the door. He is the master of this house, and there's nothing you can do about that.
Then I shall use the Old One's words of destruction upon you.
Oh no, Will Stanton, that won't work. If you use weapons of that kind here, you'll blast your whole family out beyond time. Sweet Mary there, look, her pretty mouth half open. She'll be gone forever.
Leave her out of it.
You young fool. Do you think for all your gift of grammar you can control me? Keep your place, boy.
But you are afraid of my masters.
The dark is rising, young old one, and this time we do not propose that anything shall hinder its way.
Never.
Tell your masters, nothing shall stop us. Tell them all the things of power that they hope to possess we shall take from them. All of the signs we shall break your circle before it can ever be joined, and none shall stop the dark from rising. Unfreeze.
Will, come here a minute and say hello to our guest, Mr. Matothin. This is Will, my younger son, who's just turned 11.
How do you do, Mr. Matothin?
Compliments of the season to you, Will Stanton.
Will you stay for a cup of tea or something, Mr. Matothin?
He can't.
Will?
Well, he's I'm in a hurry. No, I thank you, Mrs. Stanton, but I'm on the way to spend the day with friends, and I must be off.
Oh, so where are you going, Mr. Matothin?
My, what lovely long hair you have, Mary. Very pretty.
Oh.
You have a stray hair on your sleeve, Mary.
The rider reached out and delicately removed the hair from her sleeve.
Now, you'll have to excuse me. I have to go. Leave you all to your breakfasts. And Will, in particular, looks hungry to me.
So good of you to call, Mr. Matothin.
Thank you so much for inviting me.
Thank you so much for bringing, you know what?
Bye.
Yes, goodbye, Mr. Matothin.
Thanks
bye.
For
thank
Mom.
You.
Bye. Bye.
Now, Alice, my love, happy Christmas.
Oh. Oh, Roger, my ring. And a new bracelet to match it. Oh, bless you. They're just beautiful. Is that what Mr. Matothin brought?
Oh, yes. That's why he was here. He's a dealer in diamonds, mostly. Strange chap, but pleasant, I think. Anyway, surely it's time for breakfast.
Yes, at last.
During breakfast, the snow began to fall again, gently but inexorably.
This snow's not right. There shouldn't be this much. It's something to do with the dark. I can feel it.
Extraordinary. I've never known it like this at Christmas in my lifetime.
Much more comes down today. There'll be transport problems all over the south.
Snow or no snow, I'm off to ring the church bells. Any of you heathen mob coming to church this morning with me?
I'll come.
Me too.
And me.
A good way to get out of the chores, Mary.
How dare you!
What?
None of
dare
that now.
Go and get your coats on. One and all.
The snow was coming harder than ever as the Stantons walked to church and the wind was picking up. It was now very, very cold. Will thrust his hands deep into the pockets of his sheepskin jacket, and his fingertips felt the rook's feather, forgotten since the dreadful night of Midwinter's Eve before his birthday.
Sheep short of the usual Christmas flock this year because of this beastly snow. Mm. It was nice when it started, wasn't it? But now, well, it doesn't show any signs
of... Towards the end of the service, as the good people of Huntercombe were booming out their favourite carol, Will suddenly felt bitterly cold. His head began to swim, and then he heard an unmistakable, unforgettable sound rising from somewhere outside the walls of the church.
The dark, here, besieging us in a church. Did no one else hear that? Feel it?
Something's out there. Something that's come out of the dark is waiting beyond the church walls. It's waiting for me, alone.
But no one else had noticed a thing. The service drew to its close, and the congregation began to file out of the church, heartened and warmed by the sing-song. He stood near the altar, waiting for Mary.
Splendid. Ah, well, have you got everything? And beautiful singing as usual? Ah, here's Mary. Such a delight.
His neck prickling as though with the electricity that hangs oppressive and menacing in the air before a giant storm. It was everywhere now.
Will? Will? Is something wrong?
No.
And Will could sense the power of the dark building.
I can do nothing against it.
So strong.
How do I get Mary and Mr. Beaumont safely out of the church before I leave?
The iron sign at his belt burned so cold he could feel it through his clothes.
They mustn't get hurt by whatever happens when I leave.
And then Will saw them. The church was not empty of congregation after all, for down by the little 12th century font were gathered
Farmer Dawson, John Smith,
old ones of the circle, waiting for him to support him against whatever lurked outside. But as the vicar and Mary walked through the nave to the door, Will suddenly saw both of them pause.
What is that?
And their heads went up like the heads of wild deer on the alert.
Rector, what on earth is that?
Nothing on earth, I think. God forgive me.
Rector, what do you mean?
It's growing. Quick! Get away from the east window for the... Oh, no.
What is going on?
It's to the west. Wait. It's surrounding us.
There's a noise. I can't believe what's happening. Oh, God, help us, please. What is that?
Don't worry, dear Mary.
I can't believe this.
Quiet, Mary.
What is going on?
It's surrounding the whole church.
Easy now.
But it's building. It's building in intensity. My God. What is this? What is this?
Poor brave fellow. This battle is not for his fighting. He's bound to think so, of course, being in his church.
Come here, Will. Quick, quick.
You'll be all right soon.
We must do something to protect these two, Will, or their minds will bend. The pressure of the dark will send them mad. You have the power, Will. The rest of us do not.
So Will made the minds of his sister and the rector safe behind a barrier that no power of any kind could break through. Their eyes closed gently, as if they had gone quietly to sleep.
All right, they're safe. Now, move with me to the doorway. John, Will, that's it. Come on, link hands. Let's get over to the entrance. There we are. Well, we can protect them against the dark from here. Now, link hands.
Oh, stand firm, Will. See? The rooks cannot reach us as long as we stand together.
No, the strength of the circle will hold us firm, Will.
We won't be able to hold it. Now, how can we drive it back?
He realized again helplessly that to be an old one was to be very old before the proper time. The fear he felt this time was adult, made of experience and imagination and care for others, and it was the worst of all. Then he heard in his mind the voice that was both his and more than his.
Remember, you are the sign seeker, Will. You have three of the signs, half of the circle of the things of power. Use them.
My belt. I have to undo my belt. Free the sign.
No, Will, no.
Let go of my hand, Sean. Farmer Dawson.
What do you need?
I must free the signs.
Careful, Will. That knows what he's doing. That's it, Will. That's it.
Okay.
Hold him up. Hold him up. Clear. That's it.
Slowed by the sheer force of malice moving as if in tar, Will unclasped his belt with its three signs. He took from his pocket the rook's feather and wove it into the center sign, stepped into the church porch, and held up the belt and the signs.
They've gone!
Look at them go.
They've gone.
A full circle will do a real job, but half a circle can do quite a lot, eh, Will?
Wait. Don't move.
More trouble?
No. The signs. Look at them. They're glowing. Brighter and brighter from within.
Look up there. That light blazing from that cleft in the wall there, up at the top of the porch.
Help me up, John. Father Dawson.
They all saw the light was coming from something very small embedded on its side in the church wall.
What can you see, Will?
He went forward and pulled it easily from the stucco.
Flint. A circle of flint quartered by a cross.
Ha! This sign is stalled. We have the fourth sign.
Bring me down.
Thread it safe on your belt now, Will. Fasten your belt safe around you. Good. Now, come on, boys. We must waken your sister, Will, and the rector. Over here, come on.
Mr. Beaumont, Mary, wake. Wake now.
Valley of Death.
Will, what happened?
It has gone. Whatever malign influence it was.
Mary and the rector were now looking at Will with a kind of fearful remoteness.
I have the feeling that you fought it back. I'm not sure whether you should be ordained or exorcised.
Will!
A look that bit into him with the pain of a whiplash. It was more than he could stand.
I feel extremely disturbed. What has been happening here? There's something you need
Mr.
to tell
Beaumont,
us.
Mary.
Young man.
You will forget.
Young man.
Forget. Forget.
But I'm so glad that you could all be here for today's service. Everybody, happy Christmas. And Mary, don't forget that message to your father. And
yes.
Also to Paul. I would love to talk about Bach.
Oh, yes, he would love that. Thank you. Come on, Will, we better go. I think
out they went into the white world where the snow lay mounded over the invisible tombstones and the white fields. And then, just as they rounded the corner of the path to the Lynch Gate, a rook landed in the trampled snow ahead of them, looked at Will, walked a few paces, flew up onto the churchyard fence and looked at Will again.
What do you want? All right, bird.
The rook wished him to follow. But at that moment he could not tell if the bird was being used by the light or by the dark.
One quick look. I'm coming. I'm here.
Will followed him through the gate and stiffened as he reached the corner.
Mary, Rector, come quick. There's a man in the snow. He's unconscious, I think.
Man in the snow. Oh, what makes me there? Let me check his pulse. He's alive, thank God, but very cold. We need to get him inside.
Rector, why don't we take him to our house? It's only round the corner and it's warm.
Well, wonderful idea. Your mother's a Samaritan, I know. I'll call Dr. Armstrong. But here, let's turn him over, get an arm under his...
As Mr. Beaumont turned the man's body... Will saw his face for the first time.
Mary, it's the Walker.
Who?
Mary, we can't take him home. Not the Walker. He'll bring back the...
The Walker? Well, who is the Walker?
Oh, of course. You can't remember, can you?
Will, what can't I remember? What are you talking about?
Now, don't worry, Will. Your mother won't mind. Poor man in extremis. Now...
And together, the rector, Will and Mary dragged the walker to the church gate like a muffled heap of ancient clothes, propped him atop the rector's motorbike like a makeshift wheelbarrow, and slowly, half riding, half pushing, that strange little group made its way through the fast-falling, deep-drifting snow to the Stantons' house. Will glanced behind himself once or twice, but the rook was nowhere to be seen.
The dark is rising.
the coming of the cold. As they pulled the old man off Mr. Beaumont's motorcycle and into the big house, the smell was so acrid they at once ran him a bath. Will sat at the table. The walker. Why was he here?
What do you want?
There had to be some meaning behind it. Perhaps he had simply been hovering for his own reasons and been blasted by the attack of the Dark on the church. But if so, why had the Rook, an agent of the Dark, brought Will to save him from freezing to death?
A poor man in extremis.
Who was the Walker anyway?
He's alive, thank God, but very cold. We need to get him inside.
Why could all the powers of Gramry tell him nothing about the old man at all?
Record amounts of snow for this time of year have caused all trains to be cancelled by British Rail.
Oh.
The record snowfall has caused power outages across the country, leaving many without lighting or heating. The government has asked that if you have vulnerable neighbours, you check on their welfare as temperatures continue to drop.
Oh, dear.
Meteorologists are baffled about where this sudden cold front has come from, having previously predicted a relative...
Happy Christmas, world!
Oh, cheer up, Will. It's bound to stop soon. You'll be tobogganing on this in a couple of days.
I really wish it would stop. It's horrible the way it just goes on and on. I hate it. And it's broken a window at the back of the house.
What? How?
I guess a drift just pushed it. Like a burglar.
The Dark's shadow is spreading.
How's our patient doing anyway? I heard him muttering this morning. Weird talk. Language from another planet. Maybe he's from Mars.
I wish he was. Then we could send him back.
Will, enough of that. He's our guest and he's poorly. Take him up his breakfast, please.
Okay. Like some breakfast. Bought honey and bread and a glass of milk.
Milk? Hungry.
He sat up greedily in bed, took his breakfast, and did not say another word until he'd wolfed the lot.
Still coming down out there? Is it still snowing?
What were you doing out in the snow by the church?
Nothing. I don't remember. Hit my head, didn't I?
Do you remember when I found you?
No.
Do you know who I am?
No.
Well, let me take your tray.
No! Get away! You take them away!
Signs! You saw the four signs on my belt. Well, now you know who I am, Walker.
They burn! Oh, they burn, please! Get rid of here!
The walker lay in his room muttering and refusing to eat anything. Will was growing increasingly desperate as the cold tightened. He felt that if he did not get out of the house soon, he would find the Dark had boxed him in forever.
The Great Freeze has now been declared a national emergency by the UK government. Food stocks are expected to be affected.
Well, children, there's nothing we can do except hunker down, wait for the snow to stop.
Early to bed each night, save fire and fuel, and then we can all have a lie-in, stay nice and warm in bed.
That's right. It'll pass. It must pass.
Roger.
Huh?
We've run out of flour. We've run out of sugar.
Oh, goodness.
There isn't even any tin milk left.
Oh.
I know we're not supposed to leave the house except in emergencies, but...
Well, this is an emergency.
Well, yes.
I'll get to the... Boys, come and give me a hand clearing the path. Come on.
It took the boys and their father 2 hours to shovel away through the snow in their own garden to reach the road.
It's not just me at risk now. So many people are threatened by this cold. The very young, the very old, the weak, the ill.
When they finally reached the village shop, they found Mrs. Pettigrew, the shopkeeper, in a dither of nerves.
Have you got any flour, Miss Pettigrew?
Oh, Mr. Stanton, young Will, is this terrible snow?
No.
I'm so frightened, I don't know. I have these dreams that we're cut off and nobody knows where we are.
Good afternoon, one and all.
Good afternoon.
Mr. Stanton, Will, do you know Mr. Lyon? He's at the manor.
How do you do?
Butler to Miss Greythorne. I have some news for you, Mrs. Pettigrew. We've heard a government announcement over the local radio. There's to be a fuel and food drop from the air into the manor grounds. Miss Greythorn is asking if everyone in the village would like to move into the manor for the duration of this emergency.
Oh, yes.
It will be crowded, of course, but warm, even comforting, perhaps. The radio does say the storm will grow very much worse this evening.
Will turned to look out of the window, and he caught a glimpse of something moving outside.
The rider!
He saw it clearly only for a second as the figure on its great black horse passed along the road.
Marilyn, the rider was here.
Get the walker to the manor if you can. Quickly, or he will stop you from getting out yourself.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Would you like help with telling people to gather?
Can we go to the manor, please, Dad? I'm so tired of the cold at home.
Oh, no, I don't think that'd be necessary, Will. We're more than capable of looking after ourselves. There'll be pressure on space.
But, Dad, the walker... I mean, the old man. He's getting no better, is he? And he still hasn't seen a doctor.
Ah. Well, as it happens, we are expecting Dr. Armstrong at the manor this afternoon. She's probably on her way there just now.
Well, I suppose at least the old man might be better off with the doctor able to watch over him. But we could bring him over.
Good. We will see you and your guest at the manor later.
The sky hung grey and heavy, waiting to snow as they left for the manor with the walker later that afternoon. They set off, heaving the toboggan, with the walker strapped to it, so trussed in blankets that he was invisible, a thick human sausage. It took Will, his brother Paul, and their father almost half an hour to reach the manor instead of the usual 10 minutes.
Welcome!
Evening. We shan't stay. We're fine at home, but here's the old man we mentioned who needs the doctor. We hopped out before the storm
well,
broke.
Well, it's rising already. Let us bring him in. Come on.
Now then, Mr. Lyon. Another patient for me?
Yes.
What's all this about then, eh?
Well, shock, perhaps.
We found him unconscious in the snow a few days ago. He thought he was recovering, but now...
Leave him to me, everyone. He's got a broken leg, 2 sprained ankles, so he'll certainly provide some variety.
Leave.
All right, old friend.
The snow's really coming down now. My wife will be worrying. The boys and I must go.
If you go now, I think you will leave but not arrive.
The dark is rising, you see.
You're very poetic all of a sudden, Will. All right. Well, we'll wait a while. I could do with a breather, and good to say hello to Miss Greythorn. Where is she, Lion?
She's by the great fire. Come with me.
Merriman led the way into the crowd. It was the oddest gathering Will had ever seen. Suddenly, half the village was living in close intimacy, a tiny colony of beds and suitcases and blankets. And there by the fire, amongst them all, was Miss Greythorn, presiding over the gathering.
Ah, there you are. Evening, Mr. Stanton. Young Will Stanton.
Good evening, Miss Greythorn.
What do you think of all this, eh? Quite a lark, isn't it?
Yeah.
Look into the fire, Will. For the length of time it takes you to trace the shape of each of the great signs you carry on your belt with the fingers of your right hand. Look into the fire. Make it your friend. Do not look away for all that time.
Fire, shapeshifter. I am an old one, and I have seen you in many guises, many forms. There's the red fire in the King's Hall, the sign of iron. There's a blue fire dancing over the marshes, the sign of bronze. There's yellow fire lighted high in the tops of Beacon Hills. The sun, the stars, the volcano, the sign of stone.
And when Will looked up from the fire, he saw that the great hall at Greythorn Manor was empty.
The village is all gone.
And the walls lit by candles hung with tapestries. And that sitting in 2 heavy carved chairs, one on either side of the fireplace...
Merriman!
Yes, Will.
And, oh, my lady, you are returned.
Yes, I am here.
Oh, madam, I am so sorry for breaking the circle that first time. Are you well now?
Everything is well. And will be if we can win this last battle for the signs.
What must I do?
Break the power of the cold.
Stop the snow and the cold and the frost. Release this country from the hold of the dark. All with the next of the circle, the sign of fire.
But I haven't got it. I don't know how.
One sign of fire you have with you already.
Do I? But where?
In good time you will discover it, Will. The other sign of fire waits, and in its winning you will break the cold. But before that, our own circle of flame must be completed. And to do that, you must take the power away from the dark.
There on the table, Will.
Yes?
The great wrought iron candelabra. Look at its shape.
A circle quartered by a cross.
9 of its sockets stand empty, Will. The candles that form the cross must be found and lit.
And Will looked at the brilliant ring of candle flames and the 9 empty sockets held his eyes. And as he looked, he felt a strange jolting sensation, as if the whole world had shuddered. He looked up.
Back again, in my present. We were gone so briefly.
Would you like...
With the doctor gazing at him.
Will, do you hear what I said? You feeling all right, young man?
Oh, yes, fine. Sorry, what did you say?
I was saying that your old tramp friend is saying he won't cooperate unless he sees you. Or rather, sees the seventh son, as he so lyrically puts it. I can't imagine how he knows that. Your father, a seventh son too, of course.
Dad, you're a seventh son?
Certainly. Half the family was killed in the last war, but there were 12 of us once. Proper tribe it was. Yes, you're the seventh son of a seventh son, Will.
Anyway, follow me to the sick bay. I think you're up to see the old man. Bring me a seventh son.
Go away, doctor. Leave me with the seventh son.
Oh, charming, if you don't mind. I'll be over here if you need me, Will.
Come on. Yeah. You listen to me, boy. You can't keep me here. The rider will come for me.
You were scared stiff of the rider once. I saw you. Have you forgotten that?
I forget nothing. And that fear is gone. It went when the sign left me. Now, come here. Now, you let me get out to my people.
Your people? Your people didn't mind leaving you to die in the snow.
No.
Anyway, you can hardly expect Dr. Armstrong to let you go out in the middle of a storm.
Well, then, the rider will come. The rider will come. The rider will come.
What's going on here? Better leave us, Will. Go back into the hall.
You've got father's ride. I think he's a bit crazy.
Take care, Will.
All right, old fellow. Come along.
It is true. The rider will come for him. That is why I had you bring him here to a place strengthened by time. The rider would have to come to your own house otherwise. And all that comes with the rider, too.
Now, young Will Stanton?
Yes?
Come over here.
Yes, Miss Greythorn.
Your brother Paul has had a most wonderful idea.
Have I? Oh, yes, I have.
We thought we'd have a kind of concert until the wind drops.
Good idea.
Everyone doing a little bit. Miss Bell to recite a poem.
Oh, yes.
Yes, well, later, yes. And old Mr. Dewhurst on the guitar. Your brother on the flute, of course. Lyons has brought out that special old flute of mine that you like so much, Paul.
Really?
I thought, Will, that perhaps you would begin, and if you were just to start singing anything you like, then gradually people would stop to listen. That's much better than me ringing a bell and saying, we will all now have a concert. Don't you agree?
I suppose so, yes. There is one song I could sing. It's rather sad, though.
I'm sure it'll be marvellous.
And as the wind moaned outside the window panes, Will began to sing. White in the moon, the long road lies. The moon stands blank above. White in the moon, the long road lies. That leads me from my love. The talking around him had fallen away into silence, and all the faces were turned in his direction. Farmer Dawson, John Smith, and his wife, all of them old ones, ready again to make their circle if needs be. And then, with a shock, there was the walker, wrapped in a blanket like a cloak, standing in the doorway of his little sick room, listening. All guile and terror were gone from his face now. There was only sadness on it, and hopeless longing, and a glint of tears in his eyes. It was the face of a man shown something immensely precious that he has lost forever. As the gentleness of Paul's flute filled the room, Will felt a sudden lurch of fear. His hair prickled, and he knew that something, somebody was coming near, wishing ill to the manor and all inside it, and most of all, to Will himself.
You have no idea what's coming your way. Something worse than you could ever imagine. You'll see. You'll see. Oh, you think you're safe, eh? Well, you're not. You're not safe.
The Dark is Rising, a drama by Susan Cooper. The Dark is Rising, a drama by Susan Cooper for BBC World Service. Episode 9, The Hawk in the Dark. A thunderous knocking came from the front door of the manor house, louder even than the screech of the blizzard. Across the room, the walker jumped, his face twisted tight with waiting. Paul played on his flute, unhearing. Again the crashing knock. And Will understood this noise was not for the ears of Paul and the villagers sheltering from the winter storm there in Miss Greythorn's manor. It was he who was called, who was bound to answer to something or somebody who wished him ill.
When the dark comes rising, six shall turn it back. From the circle,
no
from the track.
Good
bronze and iron, water,
something
fire and stone.
Than you could ever imagine.
I will return. One go alone.
You'll see.
Will walked through the unheeding people to the front door, took hold of its iron handle, and
open there.
Out of the darkness, the great black horse of the rider reared up high over Will's head, hooves flailing, eyes rolling white. But as Will instinctively threw up one arm in self-defense, the black stallion screamed, fell back, and rider and horse disappeared into the dark.
But how did... Why did the rider flee?
One sign of fire you have with you already.
What?
Slowly he brought down his arm, still crooked defensively up over his head, and saw something he had totally forgotten.
The underside of your forearm, Will. The sign of iron burned you when we first met the dark together.
Well, that's my mum. Hey. I'm coming, Mum.
So as you threw up your arm when the rider reared at the door, you showed him the scar of that sign. And he could not bear it.
One sign of fire has kept the dark at bay.
Perhaps that sign had driven out the strongest attack of the dark, but then Will looked across the tranquil crowd, still listening to Paul play, and he saw Walker standing tall, eyes bright, and he knew that he had been tricked. That in opening the door to the dark, he had allowed in a power that had strengthened the Walker, and the Walker had been waiting for him. The summons to the dark from the Walker rang out, but in Miss Greythorn's hall, no one could see or hear his incantations. All was proceeding as before. Friends and family began fading away from Will, changing, vanishing. And only the Walker remained clear and present as before. But then...
From the door, sir.
Yes. Have no fear, Will.
Farmer Dawson stepped easily out of his body and came towards Will, leaving his other self to fade as part of the present, followed by...
John Smith.
We are here with you, Will.
All the old ones, able to move in and out of time, doubled themselves to group round him in the centre of the ladies' hall.
Us two?
We will stand with you,
Will. Stand with you, Will.
All of us.
We will. Back to back.
Facing outwards.
Together. The corners of a square. Here.
Here.
Here. And here.
And all around the hall, the fires and the flames of the dark hissed and danced, white and blue and black only in colour, and the nine tallest flames stood up like trees of terrible shadow. And then Will saw... Merriman's hard eyes were not for Will, but for the Walker. The Walker shrank back a little, and suddenly, through the mixture of longing and fear in his eyes, suddenly Will knew him, the Walker... was Hawking,
my liegeman, my son, there is still time to come home.
Now,
Hawking, every man has a last choice, a chance of forgiveness. It is not too late. Turn, come to the light. Hawking, liegeman, turn away from the dark. You must try and remember there was love and trust between us once.
You made me risk my life for a book. for a book. And then, because I looked at kinder masters, you sent me back to my old time, but not as I had been before. You changed me from a man into a creature, always running, always searching, always hunted. You took away my right to sink to sleep in death. You made me carry the sign through 600 years until this age.
I tell you, you may come home, Hawking.
You will Stanton, old one.
Yes, Walker.
You, boy. It is all through you, this turning in time that took away my good life as a man. It was all on your account, for your damned gift of grammary. I lost everything I had ever loved.
Walker.
Hawking now. Now.